All right, so we're on Daf Chaf Beis. I'll begin on Chaf Aleph Beis on the bottom line. So the Gemara is in a series of sort of drashas, agadata. I think it hooks into it because the statements of Rav Chisda. I'll begin two lines from the bottom on page 42. That's 21b. Two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Amar Ukva. Sorry, it says Kvusa Tav Tal Talim. There's a pasuk in Shir Shirim, which like speaks of the love between a man and a woman, which Chazal teach us is really love between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is the female, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the male. So the female in Shir Shirim describes her lover, Kvusatav Tal Talim. His hair is wavy. So Kvusatav Tal Talim, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Ukva, May She Shadrosh Kol Kots for Kots, Tilei Tilin Shel Halakot. This teaches us that on each coats means like a point, like a lot of letters have coats in, like Kots of Shal Yud, they always speak about. It's Makloka, what the Kot Social Yud is, but a lot of letters have little points at the ends of the letter. So on each Kot, you can learn heaps of halakot. It means that the Tvutzotav means. Kvusatav means his locks, tal talim or wavy, but the drasha is kvusatav are kotzim. In other words, the kotzim, tal talim, are filled with tilim. In other words, so that's the drasha. So each kotz of the Torah, each little kotz of the Torah, there's like mounds of halakot. If you remember the Gemara in Menachot, it's famous Gemara in Menachot, it says that where Moshe Rabbeinu is transported to Beis Medrash, and he hears Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is darshaning lots of halakot on each coats. Remember, and then he says, what's going to be with this person? He's going to die in Kiddush Hashem. So he says, well, what's this all about? Anyway, so it's back in the Gemara. He says, Shchorot Ka'rev, the Pasuk continues and says that like the locks of his hair are shchorot ka'orev. They're black like a raven. Anybody can think of a halacha where the din is, he has to be shachor ka'orev. Where in halacha do we have this? That something has to be black like an orev. Anybody can think of this? What do you got for me, Michael? What?
Tefillin?
Exactly right, but more specifically.
Rosh, the...
It's the straps, right?
The bottom.
Right. Well, it could be the bottom as well, but I remember it from the Ritsuot. The Ritsuot would have to be Shorot Korei, black like the raven. The raven apparently is very black.
So Lachal Moshe Sinai.
Anyway, so it says Shorot Korei, they're black like the raven. But Mia Tamotzan, who do you see? Where do you find a person that's filled with all these halachot? He says, B'mi Shemashkim Umariv Alehim the Beta Medrash. A person who gets up early and stays late studying in the base medrash. So here the Gemara is darshaning out Shchorot ka Orev. Shchorot is like Shachrit, and Orev is like Mariv. The person he gets up early and he stays late at night and he's shagging away with the words of Torah. Okay, Rabba Amar, B'misha Mashchir Panav Alehim ka Orev. Rabba says a different shot, same idea though, ultimately. The person, his face is blackened from all of his efforts, like the raven. In other words, he's so exhausted working himself with Torah, so it was Shchorot Ka'orev, so it's not Shachriz and Mariv, but his face is black like the Orev. He says, Rava Amar, Misham Esim Atzmo Ahzari Albana V'yal B'nei B'neito Ka'orev. He says, who do you find these, in other words, who's going to be the master of all these dinim? You said you have to darshan, you know, all these tilim, all these mounds of halakot from each coat. So where do you find it? So Rava says, a person who's Ahzari Albana means he's, how does he translate Asari? He says, makes himself cruel. What it means, like callous. He's callous to the needs of his family, it sounds like. He says, Ki had Ravada Bar Matna, have a ka'azil the Beirab. Like Rav Bar Matna was traveling to the base medrash. He says, Amrli debitu, Yanuki didach, my Evidlu. What am I going to do with your kids? It's interesting. She says, your kids. Not my kids. What am I supposed to do with your kids? And you're being a nice mentor. You know, you're learning all this Torah, but who's going to support the kids? We need food. So he says, Amarla, Mishlimu, Kurme Ba'agma. He says, like, have the reeds, you know, are they out from the marshes? In other words, go cut some vegetables and feed them the vegetables. That's it. I'm going to the base medrash. So I guess it speaks to a certain tension between learning and Parnassa that's, you know, still true today. But ultimately it means you have to be willing to give up a little bit for studying Torah. All right. Any questions, comments to the thing we did so far? Are we good?
Didn't Reb Chisda once say that isn't it to his nephew Rav, I think it was, that he buys his wife things, even though she's a difficult person, because it isn't enough that she brings up my children or something.
Right. That's the Gemara in Yevamot. I think it was Rav and Rabbi Chia, whatever, something like that. And he says,
their uncle. They both had difficult wives, apparently.
So it says, Dayot Shemagalot Banenu Motzino Tanu Menachet, that related to the parsha of the Kitetze. So what's your point you want to make?
No, just the point that he said that isn't it enough that she brings up my children, but it's also his children in that case.
No, but in that Gemara, though, I think he says Megadlot et Banenu. In other words, over there, I think it was Rav had Rav or Rabbi Chia had a very difficult wife. Like
Chia had a very difficult
wife. Anyway, so somebody said to him, yet he always like got something for her in the marketplace. So he says like she treats you like schmutz. Why do you keep buying her things? And he says Diot Shemagalot Banenu. It's enough that they raise our kids and they save us from the chait. In other words, like from the Sahara.
Yeah, he said that she raises my children, but he didn't consider it that it's also her children.
Yeah, but in the Gemara, the way I recall it is she says, Benenu, Arch. In other words,
he doesn't say Benenu.
All right, that's the way I saw it quoted. All right, let's go further. Now, let's take a look. Umishalom Sonavo Panav Lahavido. So now the Gemara is shifting to Pasuk. It's talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and it's talking about his midos of Rachamim, that he's Mishalom Sonavo Panav Lahavido, that he gives recompense the Sonav to those who hate him. In other words, there are people, they hate a Kaddish Baruch Hu, they're not Tzaddikim, but they did a couple of mitzvot. So it says, Umishalom the Sonav El Panav, he pays him El Panav to his face, Lahavido, ultimately to cause his destruction. In other words, he gives him a scar in this world, and then ultimately, he's a mess in the next world. That's the thrust of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Amri Shuben Levi, Umalei Mikra Ketuvi of Sharla Omro." Were not that the pasuk said this, a person cannot articulate this and say it. Kivyachol Kadam Shosei Masui Panav Bakesh Lashachom Imenu. He says it's as if, in other words, the Gemara is darshing the pasuk, not Panav is the Panav of the person who's getting compensation, but Hashem has got like this package of goodies he's got to give to the person, and it's like on his face and he wants to get rid of it and dump it. In other words, like guts of donkey. I gave him his sachar already. I'm finished with him. That's the way the Gemara darshan's the pasuk. He says, lo yacher l'sono, he won't delay l'sono for those who despise him. He says, Amar Rabbi Ila, l'sonav hu lo yacher, aval yacher l'sadikim gemurim. In other words, so the implication is, he'll give the sakhar right away to the Rishayim, but to the Tzaddikim, he doesn't give it right away. So the Gemara says, V'hainu damar Rabbi Shuban Levi. That's like Rabbi Shuban Levi teaches us, my dethiv asher nochi misav chayom la'asotam, that I command you to do this. Yeah, please mute yourself. Who's unmuted? Our emotion, need to mute yourself, okay? So he says, asher nochi misav chayom la'asotam, hayom la'asotam, lo l'machar la'asotam. In other words, in this world, you do the mitzvahs. In the next world, you can't do the mitzvahs. He says, "Hayom la'asotam l'machar l'kabel scharam." You do mitzvahs now, and you get the reward in the next world. The idea is the sachar for a mitzvah, like say, like from Rav Simon, like a mitzvah is a davar ruchni. So the sachar for a mitzvah is so great, it really can't be given in this world. This is the world gashmi. So that sachar has got to be for the next world, because this world, you don't get the sachar mitzvah b'hay alma eleka. You don't get sachar for mitzvahs in this world. You get sachar in the next world. So he says, so the idea is, again, that for the Rishayim, so they get their sakhar in this world. I don't know what he's doing. They're not getting, I guess, it was great sakhar. They're getting sakhar in this world. Tzadikim are getting sakhar in the next world. So Amrib Chama, V'itim Shmuel Bar Nachmani, my dativ Erech Apayim. So what does it mean? Again, this is with the Yud Gimel Midot, Erech Apayim, that Hashem is patient. So he says, Erech Af Mibayle. What is Apayim? Apayim means faces, so or nose, or faces. So he says, why is it Erech Apayim? Apayim is like two. Like, why is it two faces? It should be Erech Af. So he says, Ella Erech Apayim L'Tzadikim, Erech Apayim L'Rishayim. Hashem has patience for the Tzadikim. He's got patience for the Rishayim. So patience for the Tzadikim, he's going to give them the Sakhar in the next world. That's the patience. And he's got patience for the Rishayim, he's going to give them the Onesh in the next world. In other words, so he's got patience for each one, but each one has like a different aspect to it. Let's look at Tosfos on this, and then we'll the first Tosfos. So Erech Apayim L'Tzadikim L'Rishayim. So Apayim Sohakot. Let me do the Rashi first, then I'll do the Tosfos, okay? Let's do let's look at the Rashi, the eighth narrow line in Rashi on the right-hand column. So, apayim, mashma panim, Bein sochakot, bein zu'umot. So apayim, it means he's got faces. Sochakot is like the happy face, and the other is zo'umot, the angry face. Where do we have, we had sochakot? Who remembers where we had sochakot recently? What? Where? Let me hear. Yeah, you got it. You got it. We're doing symbols here, not speaking, but tefach, right? So we have we had the tefach of the socha coat, and then we had atsevo, like the sad one, but it reflected the face. So he's got mashma panim bein socha bein zuumot. So apayim socha coat ma'arichu ma'echer letzadikim latilavo. So he's got like the happy face. He lays the reward for the tzadikim to the next world. He says va'apayim zuumot, the angry face ma'arich l'rishoyim. He delays their punishment for the next world. Let's see the top Tosfos now. Erech apayim tzadikim l'rishayim, apayim sochot marach tzadikim ad la'atid, uzumot l'rishayim, umacher puranutam ad li'olam, haba, and the third line of Tosfos. So Gamza Tova, that's also doing a Tova to the Rishayim by delaying their punishment. Sheisham shavut lachzor b'tshuva. He's giving the Rishayim time to be chozer b'tshuva. So that's also a midas of Rachmanis from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kedemash B'Bechelek, Dehavi Nami L'Tova. And they mention here something, one minute. He says, one second. I saw something here. Oh. All right. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Yeah, he says, right. So he says that the reward for the tzaddikim, this is in footnote 13. He says the reward for the tzaddikim, he waits for the next world because there, like it's like infinite. You can give, you know, anything the next world and that's it. Okay, whose question comes with anything I did? What's up?
If things are going too well for you in this world, do you either assume you're a Russia or that you're getting a down payment on later?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Anyway, there's a concept in halacha, like Shema Yigram Achet, like tzaddikim, they're worried, they're concerned if things do go well for them in this world. They're afraid that maybe they have an Aveira and now they're getting all the Sakhar in this world. So there is an idea in Torah that way, you know, to be concerned about it. But, you know, there are people who are still tzaddikim and they, they have things going well for this in this world. It's, it's like Misani Kamikutra, to have two shulchan out, one shulchan in this world, one shulchan in the next world. But that's an idea. Okay, I just want to put the air conditioning on. Give me one sec. Oh, boy. Okay, everybody good? All right, I'm going to move on. Unless somebody's got questions, comments, or thoughts, everybody good? Okay, we got a nice group tonight. How many people do I have tonight? We have 10, me and 10 Talmidim. Okay, 11 of us, Kana Nahara. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, now let's refresh our recollection a little bit. Let's go, I want to go back to the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and then we'll go over the Mishnah, and we'll go to the Gemara, okay? Let's look at the Mishnah. 17b, okay? The bottom line of the Mishnah. So it's talking about, remember, the Pasebi route. You have these wedges around the wells, around the cistern, and how big an area you need. So, well, minimum, I need enough for the para and the robe of the para. He says, Rosha Veruba. I need the head and most of the animal, Biftim. But then the Gemara says on the bottom line, last word, Mutar, the top line, Yudachet Man Aleph, Mutar Lachik Kol Shehu. You can make it as large. Kol Shehu means as large as you want. I can make the Pasebi route as large as I want, uvavad shirbeba pasim, provided I add like these boards. I gotta keep adding boards. I can't have the opening larger than 10 amot or 13 and third amot, according to the Tanah Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda omer at Beis HaTaim. Rabbi Yehuda said you're capped at Beis HaTaim. Beis HaTaim, we know, is the area of the Mishkan, 50 by 100 amot. So according to the Tanah Rabbi Yehuda, it can never be larger than a Beis HaTaim. Amru lo, the Chacham says, Rabbi Yehuda, lo amru Beis HaTaim elagin lekarpeif. That limitation is only by a gina or a karpeif. A gina is a garden, a karpeif. It's a large enclosed area that's not used like for habitation. Aval im a deer, o sahar, o muksa, o chatzer. But if we're talking about a deer, they said a fold. It's like where you have like a o sahar, and it was corralling in animals. O muksa, or backyard, o chatzer. Afilu beit chamishat kurim, afilu beit asar kurim mutar. Means I go up. The sky's the limit. And the idea is, let's see the Rashi. Not this Rashi. Not that. 1 second. Yeah, if you look at the last Rashi on the Mishnah, v'chatzer, and then he says, two lines into the Rashi, he says, v'hani pasi biro nami, ho'il u'meimein, or let me go to the beginning of the Rashi, muksa, v'chatzer, shlefnei abatim, d'cholhani hekeifin ledirahu. All those, it's made for residence, it's made for human habitation. So it's for human habitation, I could do any enclosure. He says, v'hani pasi biro nami, the pasibi route, even though they're made for the animals to drink, but the water, as we saw already in the Gemara on Shabbos, has to be ru'i for shtiyas adam, that a person drinking, tashmish diram al yatehu. In other words, we view that as tashmish adam. That's according to the Chachamim. So according to Chachamim, there's no limit. Did I finish the Mishnah with this? Let me go back to the, let me go back to the Mishnah. Yechedim and Aleph. So let's see back. He says, "Kurin mutar umutar larchi kol shuvad shiur bebepasin." So the Chachamim say it could be as large as you want. So again, so we learned the machloket in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Chachamim hold that the pasi biraot could be any size in terms of ter area, and the Tana Rebbe Yehuda says you're limited to the size of a beit satayim. So it's going to come out in the Gemara. That, or we'll see in the Gemara what the reason for this is. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara now. On Chapez Ben Aleph, everybody with me? So we're around 20 lines down on Chapez Ben Aleph, 22a, near the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaBeit Satayim, Rabbi Yehuda says it's capped at a Beit Satayim. So, Ibai Lahu, Bor Upasin Kamar, Odima Bor Velo Pasin Kamar. So when the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says it's capped at a Beit Satayim, does he mean choice A? The area where the well or the cistern is a Beit Satayim, which is a very large well. I don't know what to say, but this means, is that the area this has to be Beit Satayim? But I could have a little bit like two amot beyond that for the Rosh Verubo. Or does he mean the whole area within the wedges, that's the Beit Satayim? So we'll see in a minute the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Adam otein eina beboro, lukazunim dilma'at l'tzotula yoter Beit Satayim bekarpef. Now, Rabbi Yehuda's concern is that a person is going to be Madama Milta Lamilta. He's concerned, even though we said that we could use this area like for drinking and it constitutes as a dira, but I assume it's like a little bit less than a dira. Like Rashi learned, like this area where you're corralling the animals, people sleep there, things like that. So even though this still satisfies the minimum requirements for a dira, for a residence or a habitation, but it looks a little bit more like the karpef, like the non-residential use. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda's concern that if I see or somebody sees that he has, an enclosure which is larger than the Beit Satayim for the Pasi Biraot, I'll say that could be more than the Beit Satayim. I could do it for the gin and the karpef. It could also be more than the Beit Satayim. So now he says like this. So the Gemara says, Adam notain eina beboro, do I say that a person just looks at the boar? In other words, I'm looking at this rishus, unusual rishus. It's just really there's one item in the rishus, it's just the pit. So do I just look in my mind and let's look at the pit? And that's the way I'm thinking the pit is this size. Is that the way I view it? He says, O Dilma, Adam notain eina bechitzato. Or perhaps a person looks the whole picture, where the mechitzot and how much are contained in it, because so I have to be concerned with that. So again, so the issue is it just the well is limited to a base of time, and I could have actually a little bit more than base of time if I include the area around the well, and I could have two amot around the well for the Rosh of Rubo, the Para, or they would say, no, the whole thing within the wedges, that's the deal. And the question is, Will the person psychologically, what will he think of when he's, like I'm concerned according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda that people are going to apply whatever I have here to a karpef. So will they just think well, or they'll think well and the wedges, the whole thing. And again, the wedges are unusual because they're very like a very poor mechisa, very poor partition. They're mostly open, right? So it's more open, more parrots than the omed. So I don't quite look at it like another piece of territory. So let's see. So Tashma, so the Gemara brings a proof from the following Brisa. And this Brisa discusses the same thing that we spoke about in the Mishnah. The Brisa says, Kamehi Mekuravin, how close can the wedges are dyumdin, the L-shaped wedges, how close can they be to the well or the cistern? Kidei Rosh of Ruba Shopara, enough for the Rosh and the Rova of a Para, which I think they say is two amot. He says, "V'kamahin ruchakin, how far can they be away from the boar or from the bear?" So he says, afilu kuraim. Even a kur or a kuraim is 30 sa'a. Kuraim would be 60 sa'a, but it means an area that would be Beis HaTayim is enough to plant two Sa'ah. So you do the math. So Kura would be 15 times that. So 15 times 500 square amot would be, whatever 15 times 500 square amot, 50 would be 75,000 square amot, I think, is so that would be a Beit Kur. Kurai would be 150,000 square amot. But even the point is, I could have a very large area around it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beit Satayim Mutar, Yethra Beit Satayim Asur. The Tanur Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed up to a Beit Sa, not more than that. So far, so good. That's the same as what we had in the Mishnah. He says, Amru Lo Rabbi Yehuda. The Chamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Iya Tamoda B'dir B'sar Muksa B'chatzer. Don't you agree with us when it comes to a deer sahar? There's different types of enclosures for the animals. And a muksa is the backyard, a chatzer is the front yard. He says, Afilu beit chamishit kurim, u beit asar kurim, shemutar, that if I enclose those areas, I can make it very large and there's no problem with carrying on Shabbos in the area. He says, Amar lahem, zumachis avelu pasim. He says, look, there you have bona fide partitions. Here I only have these pasim. So with these pasim, the point is, if we take this with the previous Gemara, we'll say that like a person, you know, in other words, it's like it's so inferior in terms of the partitions, we have to be more machmir with it. That's what he says over here. So he says, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Bor Beis HaTayim, a Beis HaTayim Mutar. Reb Shimon Elazar says, we have to clarify how he's different than Reb Yehuda, is Kor Beis HaTayim, a Beis HaTayim Mutar. It means, Beis HaTayim means it has to be square. And it was a square Beis HaTayim is permissible. Below Amru Laharchik, and when they said Laharchik, El Kedei Rosha Veruba Shalpara. The only thing you're allowed above that is Kedei Rosha Veruba Shalpara. All right, that's the end of the Brisa. We'll clarify. So, Hamid Kamar Rishim Lazar, Bor Velo Pasin. So, the last opinion Rishim Lazar holds, you're allowed Beis HaTayim, and then beyond the Beis HaTayim, I can have two amot for the cow. So it means that Rav Shimon Lazar holds, I just look at the boar, and then I'll add two amot beyond that. He says, Mechlad Rav Yehuda boar upasin kamar. So since I know that two opinions cannot be the same, so it means we have two opinions in the Brisa. The Tana Rav Yehuda says, I'm limited to Beis HaTayim, and Rav Shimon Lazar says, I'm limited to Beis HaTayim. And Rav Shimon Lazar also says that I'm allowed another two amot beyond the Beis HaTayim for the Rosh of Rubo Shapara. So if he's saying I'm allowed two additional amot for the Rosh of Rubu Shalpara, that sounds like he's saying that the Beis HaTayim is the boar, and then I have another two amot beyond that. But so presumably, Rabbi Yehuda, who also holds Beis HaTayim, holds that no, it's all Beis HaTayim is the whole area within the partitions. So the Gemara says, Lepalohi, that's not true. Rabbi Yehuda, boar below pasin ka'amar. Rabbi Yehuda also says, I'm just looking at the boar. So he says, Ihachi hand of Shimon Lazar. If that's the case, he's identical to Shimon Lazar. They both hold, we just look at the boar. They both hold that the size of the boar can't be more than Beis HaTayim. So how are they different? So the Gemara says, Ika beinayhu arech v'katin. The nafkamina between the two is if I have a long rectangular piece of property. So according to Rishon Lazar, it has to be square, according to Rishon Lazar, whereas according to the Tanur of Yehuda, it could even be rectangular. But rectangular with limitations. Rashi says it can't be more extreme than the 50 amot by 100 amot in the Mishkan. So means if I have 10 amot by whatever it would be, you know, then even Rabbi Yehuda would say not. Let me just get to the next Mishnah in the four lines. We'll summarize, then I'll take questions. Okay? So the Gemara says, Klal Amar of Shimon Elazar. Now this is a another statement. We didn't have this anymore. This is a statement of Shimon Elazar. Klal Amar Shimon Elazar, Kul Avir Tashmishu Ladira. If I have an open air Rishus, but it's made for residential purposes, Kagon Dir Basar Muksa B'chatzer. Like a deer sahar, those are enclosures for animals. But Rashi learns that the shepherds would sleep in it as well. He says, and the muksa is the backyard, the chatzir, the front yard. I feel beit chamisha kurin, beit asar kurin mutar. Then the sky's the limit. If it's for human habitation, then I can enclose any size area. He says, v'chol dirish tashmishal avir. Here, deer means even if it's a covered area, but the purpose is not like for the covered areas, for the outside area, on Burgan and Shibisadot, like these Burgan and the Sadot, which we had earlier, these were like these huts that they would have, the watchman's huts in the fields, so they would be made to really guard the fields. So Beis HaTayim Mutar, yes, Beis HaTayim Asur. So you're limited to Beis HaTayim. Remember, you remember the case we had in the Gemara with this is the Borgan, and looking at me strange here, Fern. Remember the case with the Borgan and with the watchmen?
Well, didn't they say in Bavel they washed away with the huts yesterday?
I don't know about yesterday's stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
We had earlier the tree. Remember the
in
tree?
Israel, so no. They extend the trum 70 and a little bit.
But the Gemara says that the tree. Remember the tree, which was the canopy, and it formed a reshus. So we said that that they're limited to a
I remember the picture.
The picture, right?
Limited to a base of time. Let me see. I can go back with a picture for it.
But that's not the Bourgognon.
Well, it was a type of Bourgognon. The tree was acting like the equivalent of Bourgognon.
What's wrong?
Let's see what we got.
You're talking to somebody in the
I'm talking to somebody there.
So you have to leave a loaf of bread under the tree.
One second.
Make it a bite. Make it a...
All right. This is somebody dopping ago. It's hard for me to get it. It went a long time ago. Wait, wait. I can't...
Much up.
Here we go. This is it.
Picture there it is.
205. So remember, he was like the watchman. He's under the tree, so it's like Rishus, but he's limited.
I think the canopy over the tree became Rishus HaYachid.
Right. It did. Okay. All right. Now, let's see. See, people remember the pictures, I guess. Okay. Let's take a look. Okay. Now, so I have to go here. Let me get to... You know, this book... It's not as colorful as like these other modern things, but it's a pretty good book. A pretty good sefer.
I wish I could draw like that.
All right, one second. All right. Okay. So here we have the boar and the possum that we got. The boar. He's got the boar, a square boar and things like that. All right, let me get over here. So, all right. All right, so that's what we're up to. Okay, so let me just summarize the Gemara that we did, and then we'll take some questions. Okay, so we started off with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're limited to a Beit Satayim with the Pasei Biraud. That's the first you saw it. So we had a question: when he says Beit Satayim, is he just referring to the boar, or does he mean the boar and the area beyond the boar? So the Gemara ends up saying sof kol sof. He just means the boar. He just means the boar. And then the Braisa, we had that. And Rav Shimon Lazar also says just the boar. So we said, what's the difference between those two shitot? We said, Rishon and Rav Shimon Lazar, it can only be rectangular. He says, according to Rav Shimon Lazar, it has to be square.
Square.
According to Rav Yehuda, it can even be rectangular. And then, we mentioned also,
does it actually
give me 1 second. Then we said that if it's avir shteshvashol the dira, even though it's an open air enclosure, but it's used for habitation, so then the sky's the limit. In other words, that's viewed as a dira. But if I have a roofed dira, but it's really made for the avir, in other words, not made for living in there, it's really made to watching the outside, then I'm limited to a base of time. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Who was talking a minute ago?
I was, but I answered my own question. It has to be a square because those things have to be perpendicular. Can't be an oval or an elliptical shape.
Yeah, except again, Rishon Lazar
describe the ellipse in the rectangle.
Yeah. Wait. Let's go.
Geometry
back.
Has to work out.
1 minute. Remember, but according to Rishon Lazar, so the Beit Satayim has to be square. Now, when it says Beit Satayim has to be square, it means if I'm going to the full Beit Satayim, but he's talking about just the water area. So it works out better with a bore. So he's got a bore here. A bore is like a cistern, which is dug. So if I dig a cistern, like it's like, you know, like a reservoir, so then it could be limited to a Beit Satayim. So he's not talking about the area outside the bore. He means the bore. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anything else? Okay. All right. So I'm going to move on now. All right. Let's take a look. All right. Everybody ready for the next Mishnah? Okay. So we're on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph on the third medium wide line. Okay. Manitin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imay Derech Shel Rabbi Mafsaktan, Yitzlaken Ad Stadim. So we had this earlier in the Gemara. The kind of Rabbi Yehuda says, if the Rishus HaRabim, like here, see, he's got the Pasei Biraud. You see the well with the four wedges, and the Rishus HaRabim is going by. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, I have to divert the human traffic, otherwise they're going to destroy my Rishus HaYachid. Because if everybody's walking through there, it's not going to be Rishus HaYachid anymore, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. But Chachamim Omri made Otsara. Chachamim say, no, Nishka Ferlach, it doesn't make a difference, you're fine. All right. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Damri Tarbai. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar both say, Kano diecha kochan shel mechitzot. That here, the Chachamim, who say it doesn't make a difference, are telling you the strength of these mechitzot, even though the shvach mechitzot, but they're so strong they're able to withstand the rabbim walking through them. It means the legal implication of the rabbim walking through them. So the Gemara says, Kanu sfirulei. So the implication is, again, this is a statement by Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, that they're saying here, and that Mistama, they hold like that, that they're saying that. So Va'ama Rabbi Baruchan Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chasen Rabbi Yochanan, Yushalayim, Yomalei Zalten, Nalot Balayla, Yushalayim, were not for the fact that its gates are closed at night, and here we have a picture of Yerushalayim, at least the way he's imagining it. Were it not for the fact that the gates are closed at night, Chayvin Olam Yishum Rishad Rabim, you'd be Chayv from Rishad Rabim. So, one minute. Yeah. So the point is that Yerushalayim would be a Rishad Rabim. Even though it's surrounded by mechitzot. So in other words, it's surrounded by mechitzot, but the rabbim are walking through here, so they're going to create a rishus rabbim. The mechitzot are going to be irrelevant to the rabbim walking through it. So it sounds like the rabbim, you know, that the mechitzot become irrelevant if I have rabbim walking through it. So the Gemara says it means here the Chachamim are demonstrating that, but he doesn't hold from it. Let me go back. So we have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Remember, we had Rabbi Lazar early in the Gemara. Rabbi Lazar does hold by this opinion. Rabbi Lazar holds, we had a couple of dapim ago. Remember, Rabbi Lazar held that Kano Diacha, Rabbi Lazar holds like the Chachamim, that even if the Rabbim were walking through these Mechitzot, the Mechitzot went out. And Memela says Rishus Yachid. But Rabbi Yochanan does not hold from it. He's saying, Rabbi Yochanan's saying, and Rabbi Yochanan Amara, he's saying the Chachamim tell us the koach of these mechitzot, but I, Rabbi Yochanan, I really hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that they're going to destroy it, and that's the way it is in Yerushalayim. I got the rabbim walking here. Here it's surrounded by walls, but I got the rabbim walking here, the rabbim walking there. This would be Rishus Rabbim, except for the fact that the gates are closed at night. All right. Any questions? All right. I'm moving on now. The Gemara says, Rami Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rami Rabban, Rabban. Now we're going to have a stira within Rabbi Yehuda and a stira within the Chachamim. Again, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Rabbim are going to destroy these Mechitzot. Please, everybody mute themselves. Somebody's unmuted. At least one person's unmuted. Okay, thank you. So So we're going to see a contradiction in his shita, and the Chachamim hold is irrelevant. We'll see a contradiction in their shita. The Tanya, we have a brisa, and Daf Yomi people should be familiar with this. We had it already in Masechet Shabbat. The Tanya, the Yeter Alkein Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Misha Yilu Shnei Batim Shnei Tzida Rishon Rabim. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda says, if a person, we had this earlier, I don't think he's got a picture here, but we had it earlier. If a person has two homes on either side of the Rishon Rabim, he says, Osalo lechi mikan velechi mikan, okor mikan vekor mikan. So he's going to do a lechi. In other words, he's got home A on one side of Rishus Rabim, home B on the other side of Rishus Rabim. So he's got two walls, and the Rishus Rabim is in the middle. So according to the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, I could put a lechi on either side of one Rishus, or I'll put a korah, like the crossbeam, over one side of Rishus Rabim, and Korah over the other side of Rishus Rabim. He says, Venose venotim be'emsa, then I can carry. Remember, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that two walls are enough to make a Rishus Rabim, a Rishus Yachid deraisa level, and then with these Korah the Lechis, so I'm good to go, and I can carry there. So that's obviously going to be a stira, because here Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to divert the Rabim, otherwise it's going to destroy the Rishus Yachid. And there he's saying, like, I got the Rabim walking through, and I'm good. I got good mechitzot. He says, Amru lo, and Chami said to Rabbi Yehuda, Eim arvin Rishus Rabim Mekach. You can't make, like an Erev, you can't make a Rishus Yachid like this. And here, so here it sounds like they're concerned with the Rabim, but in our mission, they weren't concerned with the Rabim. So everybody's reversed. So Kasha to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha to Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha. The Gemara says, there's no contradiction with the Shita Tana Rabbi Yehuda. By the Pasim, he says, divert. By the two homes, he says, let them come. He says, Hatam the Ikashte Mechitza Ma'al Yata. Over there with the Shita Rabim, he's got two bona fide Mechitza. In other words, these are inferior mechitzot. These are just little wedges. I have the Paras Mubala Omeid. there with the two homes, he's got a bona fide mechitza. I have 100% mechitzot. He says, "Hacha lekashtei mechitzot malyuzay." Here I don't have two good mechitzot. I'm working with the shvachkeit to begin with, so I'm not going to, on top of the shvachkeit, I'm not going to have the rabbim walking through and destroy it. I'm already like cutting it close to the edge. The Rabbanan Zeroman and Nami Lokasha, within Shita Chami might not have a kasha. Here the Chami say, let them come. And over there they say, no, it's not a Rishus Yachid. Hacha Ika Shem Arba Mechitzot. Here, with the Pasei Biraud, at least theoretically, I have four Mechitzot, right? I have, right, two, 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 two. So I have four walls. It's like imaginary, but I have four walls. He says, Hatam Leka Shem Arba Mechitzot. Over there, I don't have Arba Mechitzot. All I have is just the two walls, and I have the Lechi, the Korah, and that's just like a sign, but I only have two. So therefore, I'm going to be more machmir with it. All right. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Any questions on what we did so far?
Can you summarize it?
All right.
Sorry.
And then yeah. I have a question.
I don't know. It's a lot of work repeating the whole Gemara again, Fern, but I'll do it. So we had one sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Tana Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that if I have the rabbim walking by and I have these diumed in, I have to divert the people. Because if they're walking through the pasim, I don't have a rishus yachid anymore. So the rabbim are going to be poisoned for my rishus yachid. But the same Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, in the rishus, if I have a rishus rabbim, I have one house on one side of rishus rabbim, one house on the other side. With two walls, and then I do two korahs or two lachis, I'm good to go. So it's a stira. So the Gemara says, no. Over there, he's got two bona fide walls. Here, he's got imaginary walls, so he's more machmir with it. Then we said, the chachamim, here they hold, let them come. Like, I don't care. And over there, they say, no, that's not a rishus yachid. So over here, I really have four walls. It's imaginary, but I have four walls. Over there, I don't have four walls. The Emma says, I only have two walls. All right, now.
How are you supposed to divert the people?
You put up like a cone or whatever. Right. You put up like a viso, you know, don't come here. I don't know. What's up, Malka? What do you got for me?
So this is my question. You put up two walls. This guy who owns two houses on either side of a Rishut HaRabim. And you put up two walls, but the Rishut HaRabim does not belong to you. And the same thing with the picture of the making the four, you know, L-shaped posts. Like, how do you make something that doesn't belong to you a Rishut HaYechid?
Yeah. So the first thing is that, again, like the dinim of Shabbos are not working per se with ownership the way like we think of in terms of ownership. The question is just, is it a Rishus HaYechid? Is it a Rishus HaRabim? That's the first Yisod. So if he's on a Deraisa level, if he's, according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if I have two walls, I have a Rishus HaYechid. So I don't know, but that's the way it seems to be with the ownership. And then the others are just simanim, you know, I'm like demarcating it. So it sounds like it's enough. I don't know what more to say. Let's say we could be 20 people together, right? If I have a chatzer, and yet but we still create a Rishus HaYachid together, right? So even though it's owned by multiple people, it's still Rishus HaYachid. It's true when we combine with with the thing, we're making it really one rishus. So, all right, let me think about your question a little bit, Malka.
But I mean, the point is that if you better get a bunch of people together and you get authorization from the town, whatever, then you can make an eruv. But if you don't have authorization, can you really? I mean, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Let me look into it. You see, we don't hold the halacha like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, but let me look into it. Blein Eder. Okay, who's got other questions? All right, let's keep moving. All right, now we're on the bottom line on Chaf Beis Manav, 22a, the bottom line. Everybody with me? Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael and Chayim Ben Olam Yishum Rishut HaRabim. So here Rabbi Yochanan says, there's no Rishus HaRabim in Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, Yativ Rabdimi, Vekamar Leila Hashmaita. So Rabdimi, who would travel from Eretz Yisrael to Baba, was sitting down, repeating over this halach from Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei by the Rav Dimi. So Baye, who's in Bavel, says, Rav Dimi, my Tama, turn page. Why isn't there no Rishus HaRabim in Eretz Yisrael? So the top line in Ahmed Bey's, Ilei Mishum Demakif La Suma De Tzor Mehach Gisa U Machtana De Geder Mehach Gisa. He says, maybe it's because there is like a whole, what is it, like an escarpment. Let me get picture book out. Here, like when I enter Eretz Yisrael from the north, whatever, there's Suma Ditzur, where Hezbollah is, you know, having a nice time now. But there's a big set off with like the hills, the rocks. So it's like a mechitza on one side of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, "Umachtana degader mihakisa." And then there's like a there's a cut off, you know, going into the river near Gader or whatever, the valley near Gader. How does he translate it here? Is the drop of Gader on the other side? In other words, like the physical landscape is sort of cutting off Eretz Yisrael and creating a mechitza. So if that's the case, Bavel Nami. Now remember, Rabbi Yochanan was aligned with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda holds if the Rishus HaRabim goes through it, then I'm in Gahak Tzuris. So he says here. So he says, Bavel Nami. He says, so in Babylonia as well, I have the Euphrates, I have the Tigris rivers. So they said in the art scroll that they came together. Does the Tigris and the Euphrates come to a point? I think near the Persian Gulf, I think they do come to, don't they join together? Anybody know? All right, but I think they do. Anyway, so the point is, it's also partition. So the Kuliamanami Makif Okeanos, and the whole world is surrounded by the ocean, and there's like, you know, sort of like a continental shelf. So there should never be Rishus HaRabim anywhere in the world. So he says, Dilma ma lo mora dot ka'amart. So Abaye says to Rav Dimi, maybe what you meant or when recording Rabbi Yochanan is that, like, the Rishus, it's a very hilly terrain. And so there's a lot of like uphill, downhill type of thing. So it's hard for the people to traverse it. And Mimela, that destroys the, that makes it like a Rishus HaYachid. So let's think it over for a second. Or that makes it not a Rishus HaRabim. So again, so within the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if it was a place where the Rabim go, so that's going to destroy the Rishus HaYachid. But if it's a place where the Rabim have a difficult time going, so then it won't be a Rishus HaRabim anymore if it's difficult for them to traverse it. So he's saying in Eretz Yisrael, so the public roads are hard to traverse, and it's not a Rishus HaRabim. That's what he wants to say. So Amar Leh, so Rav Dimi said to him, Karkifna Chazit Reshach Be'amude, Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shmaita. Karkifna means like head, or they said big head. I saw your head among the pillars. The base medrash Rabbi Yochanan said over this halacha. I'll come back to that in a minute. So Idmar Nami, Ki Atzer Rabin, and Rabin and Rav Dimi usually show up together. When Rabin, each one usually quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Ki Atzer Rabin, when Rabin came from Israel, Rabbi Yochanan, Amri Lo, Amri Bo, Rabbi Yochanan, Malod Mordo, Cher, Israel, and Chayvin Le'em Misham, Rashid Rabin, that the, it means like the ma'alot or moradot, what is it, the ascents and descents, yinachai v'shus rabim, v'shinan kediglei midbar. It's not like diglei midbar. Diglei midbar, let's look at Rashi on that. Kediglei midbar, on the fourth, sixth narrow line, there is chalakai tashanan mashvota. In other words, the model is the midbar. So in the midbar, the anan would go and pave over everything. So if it's flat, that's Rishus HaRabim. I got lots of hills and valleys and things like that. So it's not a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. Let's look at the third Tosfos. Karkifna Chazita the Reshach. So Rav Dimi says to Abaye, like Karkifna, like the one with the head, and it was your Taman Chacham, I saw you when Yamudim, Rabbi Yochanan said over this halacha. So Reshach Hainu Rabba. He says, I saw your Reshach. So Tosfos says Reshach means Rabba, Shei Rabo Shel Abaye. So it doesn't mean that Abaye was a Talmid Chacham. He was a Talmid Chacham. But he says, but the way Tosfos understands it, he says, Chazina the Reshach, I saw your head, means I saw your Rebbe, Rabba. He says, Bahabi Kimo Reshach Bekariri, Reshad Reshach Bechamimi. I didn't look up this Gemara, but it sounds like, you know, your head is in the cold water, and your teacher's head is in the hot water. Umatzinu shalach Rabba le'Eretz Yisrael l'mo Torah l'fnei Rabbi Yochanan. We see that Rabba did go to Eretz Yisrael to study Torah from Rabbi Yochanan. So perik shnei dayan egay zay wrote, Aval Abaye atzmo umatzinu shalach l'mo Torah sham. We never see that Abaye went to Eretz Yisrael to study Torah. He says va'od shel Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi never saw Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Aval Rabba Talmidosh Rabbi Yochanan Haba, but Rabba was a Talmid Rabbi Yochanan. So that's what sets us up with the chronology. Okay, now let's focus on this a little bit. Now, in the Gemara, so within the Shita that the Rabbim are going to break up Mechitzot, so these other geographical areas, the barriers are not going to be Mechitzot. In other words, let's say I have like the rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates, and I have and I have, what was it like here? I have Sulma de Tzur, like the escarpment of Tzur, and I have Machtana de Gader. So there, since the Rabbim, the way the article said it, they more easily traverse those areas, so they're a non-entity. But the only thing is, but the Malot Moridot in Eretz Yisrael, like the roads in Eretz Yisrael, it's hard for them to traverse it, so they're not destroying it. But we hold, not like Rabbi Yehuda, we hold like the Chachamim. So the Chachamim hold that the Rabbim don't break up, right? The Chachamim hold the Rabbim don't break up where I have Mechitzot. So that being the case, why are not these geographical barriers, why are they not Mechitzot? In other words, you could say all of North America is surrounded by the continental shelf, right? So all of North America should be Rishus Yachid. What's wrong with that line of argument? So you quote here in the Art Scroll, and here, let's look at the Tosfos. So if you look at the Tosfos, second Tosfos, three lines from the end of the Tosfos, Dilma, but three lines from the end, he says, "V'yesh lomar de mechitza shein asuyi bidei adam lo chashiva mechitza kulihai." He says that if it's a natural mechitza, we don't consider it such a strong mechitza. In other words, it's something that naturally occurs. He says, "V'afilu rabbanu modu de atu rabban batli mechitza." So if it's a natural mechitza, so then the chachamim, in other words, like it's like we've seen many times before. You have machloket, and it's not quite black and white; it's more shades of gray. So the chachamim will agree that if I have a natural mechitza, in other words, a pasi birod, that they'll say withstands the attack of the rabbim. But a natural mechitza, like you know, like the hills or whatever, or the escarpment, so or the rivers, that they'll say that does not withstand the rabbim. And then he quotes also this is in footnote. Footnote 4, he quotes also from the Ritva, citing Ramban, says, if it's such a large area, it doesn't define how large, where you can't see, you're not conscious of it, but like certainly the continent is a large area, those don't count as mechitzot according to the Chachamim. Otherwise, you'd have to ask, how do any of us have a Rishus HaRabim? Okay, so, time for questions, comments, and thoughts. Let's hear it. Let's hear it from the group. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? What's up, Seth? What's your Hebrew name again, Seth? Yisrael, right?
Yisrael.
Yeah, okay. What do you got for me, Yisrael?
I remember hearing this controversy when I was living in Manhattan, and they were saying that
right, all Manhattan
pizza, some people around pizza, and some people don't.
Right. I got it. Right.
Somehow, if they were to put a screen across.
Right. I got it. Anyway, so that's a very old issue. The island of Manhattan should be mechitza because I don't know what you call it. Like it's like the not the continental shelf, like the fall off from where the end of the island is to the water. That should be the mechitza. So I know that Ramosha had a truth about that, and it came out that it wasn't a mechitza. So I don't remember exactly why he says not a mechitza, but we see here that there's some of the ideas we see here that there's like a maximum area, like I don't know if this comes into play, but if it's so large that I'm not even aware, it's like such a humongous piece of territory, that could be one issue that's playing into it.
I remember the issue being that the traffic areas and the bridges were too big. I thought there was an actual wire going through it, but that the people who didn't hold by it was because of the width of the bridges.
It could be. I don't remember. I have to go over the whole thing. But I know it's something that goes back, I think, to the 1950s. They had a discussion about this whole thing that the island of Manhattan should be considered like it's surrounded by a mechitza. But suffice it to say that no post can say that today. And you can't carry a Manhattan. Okay, well.
They have an Erev now. They put an Erev in Manhattan.
Well, there are Erev and there are I guess with every Erev you have different questions. I remember there's an Erev, I think, on the west side of Manhattan. But like Broadway goes through it, I think that they do once a year, they take out like this screen and they get up like 3 a.m. in the morning and block off traffic on Broadway or whatever.
Like 660,000 people.
600,000 people go each year. I got it. Okay.
Today, most of the schools approve of the Erev in Manhattan. Except for the lower.
Wait. When you say the there's a lot of different.
Most of the OURCA shuls accept the Erev Manhattan, with the exclusion.
Which Erev do you mean? There's different parts of Manhattan, different Eruvim.
Midtown.
Yeah, I'm telling you that East Side Manhattan all the OURCA shuls are carrying.
But isn't it there that there's like an Eruv for that part of Manhattan, not for the whole island? They're relying on the whole island being an Eruv?
I'm quite sure, yes. My son would know better. He lived there for many years. The only group that does not follow a Manhattan Eruv is the hardcore Lower East Side Rav Moshe Feinstein enclave. To that exclusion, everyone else holds an Eruv.
But on the west side of Manhattan, I know, I think they have a separate Eruv. In Washington Heights near YU, we have our own Eruv. So I think there's like smaller groups within Manhattan. I don't know. You say that everybody accepts the Manhattan Eruv. I have to look into it. Blinet, I'll look into it and get back to everybody.
In Williamsburg, the Satma don't accept the Eruv.
No, and Lubavitch don't either.
Spartan don't ever.
You know what really, really surprised me when I moved to Riverdale? I've heard about Minhag Manhattan or Minhag New York concerning the elevators. Have you heard of it? It means that basically over seven stories.
Say again, I didn't understand.
And I was surprised.
Wait, I just couldn't understand what you were saying.
Because in Great Neck, there is not a lot of buildings, and even in Queens, but in Riverdale and Manhattan, there is a lot of buildings, high-rise.
Right.
I've learned about Minhag, New York, which means that if you rent or buy a home on floor 7 or more,
right,
you can use the elevator. Because, yes, Forer Gadol.
No. I don't think it's quite a blanket permission.
All right, this is
another hot issue. Okay, Blinetter, I'll try to talk about elevator another time. Okay. All right.
You just don't move into an apartment that's on the seventh floor.
I refuse to rent an apartment on the seventh floor. I wanted only on the first or second floor, and everybody told me, "Oh, it's Minhag New York. You can."
I never heard of that.
All right, the first you saw it is, I wouldn't trust like the. You go to the rabbi. That's the first thing. You go to a rabbi you trust, and you say, "Rabbi, I want to move into an apartment. What's the halakha about using an elevator?" That's the first you saw. Don't say, "Oh, the people says it's like kashrus." If you move into community, you can ask somebody on the street, "What's kosher?" They're all kosher. Or you can go into the restaurant and say, "Is it kosher?" Or you can ask the Rav and say, "Rav, which restaurants in this community are kosher?" Okay, but I tell you, the elevator is a different issue. I'll try to address the elevator, Blinetter, but I want to focus first on the Eruv. I'll try to get to about the Eruv also. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Just one more comment about the elevator. There's a whole issue of whether you can take it going up as opposed to going down. There are people who will only take it, I think it's going down because of the way the mechanism works.
The issue with the elevator is that, like, you're causing the motor, when first of all, you know, to put a press the button, that's obviously not allowed. But even if you're not pressing the button, let's say it's an automatic elevator, but you're causing the motor to work more because you're, or it's at least in some elevators, because you're in the elevator. So those are the issues with the elevator. But it's, again, so people in New York are facing a more difficult situation because a lot of people do live in high rises. But let me look into it, Blinetter, and try to get back to you. And let me also with the thing with the Arab. Okay, I got to move on. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. Now, we're around the 10th line on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. So, by mine Rachva me Rava. Rachva posed the following question to Rava. Tel amid lakeda sarah mitoch arba. Rabim Bokimbo, Chayvulav Mishud Rabim, Oein Chayvulav. So, let's say I have a mound in the Rishus Rabim. Let me get a picture book out again. Okay, so here you see a mound. So he says this mound, it's Midlakit Asara Mitok Arba. In other words, if I go Dalet Amot, here you see the arrow. Well, he's got Dalet Amot over here, like the hypotenuse. I thought Dalet Amot on the bottom, but if I go Dalet Amot, I go up 10 tfachim. Dalet Amot is 24 tfachim. So if I go down, penetrate it 24 tfachim, I rise up 10 tfachim. So here it doesn't look as sharp, but I think it's like around a 40-degree angle. That's basically what it comes out to. That's my way of looking at it. It's but you could do the math. So it means I'm in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and I have this mound rising in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So he says, but it's got like a sharp incline, a sharp incline. So he says, but a lot of people, they go through, they go up and around it. They go over it. Is it still a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? But it's, we just said the Ma'alot and Moradot in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So what's doing? So the Gemara says, Alibit the Rabbanon lo tibay lach, within the sheets of the Chachamim, you have no kasha. Hashta umahatam denicha tashmishte, with the Pasei Biraot, where they go, with the Pasei Biraot, he says the nicha tashmishte, it's like easy to go through. Amri Rabbanon lo'atram vadli mechitzda. So the Chachamim hold the mechitzda are good, even if like the whole mobs are coming through there. Hachelo nicha tashmishte. So here, where it's not here where it's not so easy to climb up and go over the whole thing. So he says, lo kol shekein. So certainly, in other words, I thought the implication is that this might be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it's going up and you have dalet al dalet here and you have ten tefachim here. So certainly, if in other words, if I have straight, I go straight through it, the chamim hold that the Rosh Hashanah hold up. So certainly, where it's difficult to go through it, they would hold that it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Kiti bayalach libes Rabbi Yehuda. But the question you should ask is, when the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, my hatam hu denicha tashmishtei. Do I say that Rabbi Yehuda says that the mechitzas are broken because it's easy? It's like an easy walk. I walk through. The mobs are going through there. Hachahu lo nicha tashmishtei lo atu rabim uvatli mechitza. Do I say that where it's a rough hoe, it's rough getting up and down this mound? Do I say they're not mevatel mechitza? So dimel lo shno, maybe there's no difference. So that's the basic question. Within the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that the rabim, that the presence of the rabim comes and destroys these mechitzot. Is that only when it's easy to use, or even when it's hard to use? Even when it's hard to use. And the idea is, we just saw above, right, with Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan was working within the sheet of Tana Rabbi Yehuda. We already have the answer to this question, right? Rabbi Yochanan says there's no Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in Eretz Yisrael, because the ma'alot and moradot, because the ascents and the descents. So let's see in a minute. So Amar Le Chayavin. So he posed this question. This was, who posed the question to who here? This was, 1 second. This was Rachva to Rabba. So Amar Le, so Rabba says Chayavin. In other words, it is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He says, Vafilo Olin Lo Bechevel, Amar Le In. He says, yeah, even if you go up, like you need a rope to go up, then in a chinami, it's still Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But Philip Malot Beit Maron, he says, even like Malot Beit Maron, which is like the sharp incline, it's like, you know, one person walks at a time, even there, is Amalei In. So in a chinami, he's saying it's still retaining its level as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Just one second.
No, it becomes a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
People walk through it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say right. Let me go back. I'm sorry. I did not explain this right. Let me go back. Let me go back. So he said, when he says Amalei Chayavin, you're chayav for carrying there because the traffic nullifies the partition formed by the mountain. So no. So right. So it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? So it is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, is what he's saying. It is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And then he says, right, Malabim Maron, he says, so in Achinami, even in that case, Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that the Rabbim come and destroy whatever Rosh Hashanah Yachid would be there. That's the way he's answering. That's what he's answering. Okay, so now let's go further. Now, the Gemara says, let me go back. He says, by the way, this Malabim Maron, this relates to Rosh Hashanah. Let's look at the Rashi on that. Malo Beit Maron, the eighth narrow line of Rashi, Zekufin Ma'od, like it's very, you know, sharp ascent. Umala Ketzara, it's like a narrow walkway. Umhalkin Babazel Charzeh, you have to walk one person at a time through the pass. Below Shlaim Yachid, can read Rosh Hashanah, give name Maron, Kamalo Beit Maron. It says, the Mishnah says that on Rosh Hashanah, everybody passes before a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kivnei Maron. So the simple shot is like sheep, like Kivnei Maron means like sheep, sheep with the shepherd. But he says Kivnei Maron, it means like this pass at Beit Maron, where only one person can pass by at a time. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, with his Cheshbon Shemayim, everybody's file is pulled, and you get like a personal, you know, analysis, or he personally analyzes your record to decide what type of year you have. That's the Cheshbon on Rosh Hashanah, Kivnei Maron. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So, Eifei, so again, Rach was not done with Rava yet. Eifei, so he asked him a question from the following brisa. It says, Chatzer sharabim nechnasin la bezu, v'yotzin la bezu. If I have a chatzer that, let's see, so I have a chatzer, here's the chatzer, and you see there's a breach here, there's an opening here. The rabbim crossed through the chatzer. He says, Rishita rabbim latuma. So it's a public, we view the chatzer as being Rishis Rabim Legabi Tuma. Remember for Tuma, so Safek Tuma Rishis Rabim Sveko Tahor, right? He says, Urashuda Yachid Shabbat. And Aaron Gershon, I'm glad you're here. Remember Aaron Gershon, I always, remember I've mentioned this in the past. Where are you, Aaron Gershon? Let me see you. Anyway, so the there's different, you have to, you know, clarify what area in halacha you're talking about, because there's, you know, different definitions of things for different areas in halacha. So he says here, but it's Rishud HaYachid Shabbat. So it means this chatzer, in other words, I got a million people going through the chatzer. Here's the walls breach, here's the entranceway. We're all like using it as a shortcut. So that's Rishud HaYachid Shabbat. That's what the Brisa says. It's Rishud HaYachid Shabbat. So Mani, according to whom does that Brisa go? Ilema Rabbanan, if we'll say it's going according to the Chachamim, Hashta, Uma Hatam, Denicha Tashmishtei, Am Rabbanan, Lo Atu Rabim, Batlim Chitzta. So over there, by the Pasi Biraot, we say the Rabbim, you know, don't destroy it. So, Hachad lo nicha tashmish lo koshke. And here, in other words, by the Pasi Biraot, it's easy to pass by. Here, it's difficult to pass through. You know, I have different impediments. So, certainly they'll hold us to Rosh Hashanah. That's obvious. Elav Rabbi Yehuda hi. Is it not that this Bryce is going like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda? So, we said before, if the Rabbim were going through it, so the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, Taka, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But here it says it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and the Rabbim are going through it. So that's a steer to what you said, Rava. Rava, you said it's going to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but I think it should be Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Lo, the Olam Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yehuda could hold it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. This price is like the Chachamim. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim L'tumah is Tzrichalei. You're right. The part about Shabbos, that's obvious. But the part about Tuma, that was not so obvious. And what's that, what the Tana taught it, that it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim L'tumah. So Tashma, so the Gemara tries to bring a proof from against Rava from the following Mishnah. So it says, this Mishnah is Sechet Harot. It says, Mevo'ot HaMafula Shod, let's get Mevo'ot HaMafula Shod. Okay. Mevo'ot HaMafula Shod, Beborot B'sichin Uvama'arot, Rishud Yach L'shad Rishud Rabban L'tumah. So Amavui is Amavui Satum Amavui Mafulash. So Amavui Satum is closed at one end and open at the other end. So here I have Amavui, one end is open as the Rishud Sarabim. At the other end, it opens up, there's a pit at the other end, and people can only get through on this narrow passageway where the bays is. So he says, Bevorot, Besichin, there's a ditch there. Or he says, Uma'arot, I don't know, a cave, whatever. He says, Rishud Yachli Shabbat, Rishud Rabban L'tumah. So the key is it a Mavui Satum? So we're going to view it as a Mavui Satum. I assume that you'd need a Lechi or a Korah here, but do we view it as a Mavui Satum? So he's saying we view it as a Mavui Satum for Shabbos and Rishud Rabban L'tumah. So first the Gemara says, "Beborot salchadaitach." Do I think that the whole mavui is in a bore? He says, "El liborot." In other words, it opens up into a bore, like over here, like here in the picture. He says, "Rishud yachad shabbat rishud rabban l'tumah." Mani, when does that price to go? Mishnah go. Elim a rabbanan. If we'll say it's going according to the chachamim, hashta umahatam denicha tashmishtei. With the pasuk b'road, it's so easy to go through. Notwithstanding that, amri lo atu rabban vadli lo. That the chachamim hold that it's no harm, no foul. He can walk through. It's still Rosh Hashanah. Hachel nich tashmishtei here is not so easy to walk through. You know, I got this geographical impediment. He says, "Lo koshkein." Certainly, hold the Rosh Hashanah. Elav Rabbi Yehuda. Is it not that this Mishnah follows the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda? And b'meila, we see that where I have a geographical impediment, they'll say it's Rosh Hashanah, not like you said, Rava. Lo, Leolam Rabbanan. No, I can say Tach is going like the Chachamim. Should Rabbin Latuma is Tzrichalei. And like before, the Chiddush, no Chiddush by Shabbos, but the Chiddush is by Rishus Rabbin Latuma. Okay, now Tashma. Now the Gemara tries to bring a proof against Rava from the last case with Shvile Beit Gilgal. In 51, it's like, I don't know, a place with like steep inclines. It says Tashma Shvile Beit Gilgal the Chayotzei Behen Rishuta Yachid LeShabbat. The Rishuta Yachid LeShabbat. I assume he means like the mound is going to be Rishuta Yachid LeShabbos because it's so hard getting up there. Rishuta Rabin LeTuma. What's Shvile Beit Gilgal? So Amri the Beit Rabbi Yannai, this is not part of the Bryce anymore. They send the Beit Rabbi Yannai, Kol Shen Eved Yechol Litol Sa Shel Chitim V'Yaretz Tanei Sar Yud, that a servant couldn't take a Sa of Chitim, which is a certain measure of wheat, and run before like this officer. In other words, like it's such a hill, I'm like dropping dead from it. So he says, Mani, so according to whom does that Bryce go? Elaim and Rabbanan, if we'll say it's going like the Chachamim, Hashtu Mahatam Denicha Tashmishtei before. Mahatam Denicha Tashmishtei. It's so easy to walk through the Pasebi route. I'm Rabbanan Lawat, Rabbin Batal Lamachisa. They'll come and say, notwithstanding that, the Rabbin were not going to be Batal Lamachisa. Hakalo Nicha Tashmishtei, Lokol Shkain. Here, where it's not so easy to go up. So certainly the Machisa will be in good shape. Elav Rabbi Yehuda, is it not that this is going according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and teaching me that when I have a geographical impediment in Achinami, it turns into Rishuta Yachid, not like you said, Rabba. So Amar Lei, so is Rabba talking back to him? Let me see. So who's Amar?
Rabba
answered. Yes, Rabba.
Yeah. So Amar Lei, yeah. So Amar Lei, Shvile Beit Gilgal Kamar, you told me about Shvile Beit Gilgal. Yehoshua, Oy Yisrael Haya. Yehoshua, who lived after time Moshe Rabbeinu, he was an Oy Yisrael. Amar B'tikilim Drachim Mustratya. He made an enactment concerning like the public roadways. He says, Kol Hecha Denicha Tashmishtei Misara L'Rabim. If the use was easy, he gave it over. He gave over where a path. He assigned it to the public. Then he assigned it to the public sector. He says, where it wasn't easy to use it, he gave it over to the private sector. So it means like this, that that roads, I'm reading in the art story, he says roads with a steep slope, says the path of base Gilgal were private property, and even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that public traffic through private property does not have the status of Rishus Rabbim. So in other words, he Yoshua signed it to the private sector, if it's lo nicha tashmishte. So even there, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda would certainly agree. In Elkanami, it is a Rishus Yachid in that case, but even Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that. But when Rabbi said that that even the roads with the steep inclines would nullify the partition, he's referring to slopes outside of Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, the slopes, you know, that are, you know, rough the road to hoe. So there, based on Yoshua's takana that's assigned to the private sector, so there, even the Tana Rabbi Yehuda will subscribe to the idea that it's part of the, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not part of the private sector. So there, he maintains that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's still part of the Rishus HaRabim. You know, all right, let me do the, all right, who's a question comes to the end so far? We're going into overtime here. All right, let me do the next mission and then I'll wrap it up. Now, the mission says, Matnitin, Echad Bur HaRabim, we had this already also before. Echad Bur HaRabim is a cistern that's for the public. Ube'er HaRabim, the well. Ube'er HaYachid, Osinlin Pasin, make the Pasin. So the idea is the Be'er, the water is constantly going. So whether it's Be'er HaYachid, Be'er HaRabim, I have a heter. The Bor, if it's Bor HaRabim, and the key is what if it runs out of water? So the Bor HaRabim, people remind one another that you can't carry there anymore. He says, about the Bor HaYachid, Osin L'machisa Kvor Sartfachim, the Rabbi Akiva. But if it's Bor HaYachid, Rabbi Akiva holds, I need regular partitions because there's nobody to remind me when the water comes out that I can't carry there anymore. So I need regular partitions. He says, and if I have regular partitions, I could carry there. Rabbi Yudam Baba Omer, Enosin Pasin al Be'er Rabim Bad. Yehuda ben Baba says, I can only make the Pasim if it's Be'er Rabim. He requires two guarantees. One, it's a Be'er, and the Rabim are using it. In other words, like two qualifications. He says, Ulashar, everything else, Osin Chagora Gvora Sartfachim, make Chagora. Rashi learns, it's like the ropes, you know, that we saw, which was not such a great machitza, but I mean, the ropes. Others say, I'll make regular machitza for it. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, Yosef, you've been very quiet lately. I don't know if it's the hour or what's going on, but it's nice to have you.
I got it.
All right. All right, all right. Everybody's happy. Let me end the recording.